Turn with me to the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11. I had just begun last week to talk to you about, I've been talking about trust. I always have tried to say faith and trust, you can just clamp them together. They're like the other side of the same brain. They're one. Each one has to function. You can't have faith without trust, and you can't trust God without faith. And so the book of Hebrews is what we call the great faith chapter. It contains the heroes of the faith. These are the people who have laid a foundation, a standard for us to model, to go after, to, if we're going to say we want to be like somebody, let's be like them. You know, the world, their role models are the entertainers and the sports figures and so forth. But the reality is, God is your role model. And Jesus is your role model. And those Old Testament patriarchs and Old Testament prophets and these New Testament apostles, these are the role models. If you're going to emulate anyone, don't emulate an athlete. I mean, they may be good at what they do, but some of their lifestyles outside of the football field or the basketball court or the baseball diamond, I mean, you don't want to emulate that stuff. And sometimes, you know, people can't tell the difference. You know, they think because they lack what they can do physically on a sports field that they can't separate that from the person. Because the person on that football field or on that baseball diamond or on that basketball court or on that ice with his hockey, the reality is that's not them. That's what they do. But it's not them. See, God gives us a picture of him. There are a lot of people who know about God that they can tell you what God did, but we can go further. We can tell you about God. I not only can tell you what he's done, I can tell you what he's doing, and prayerfully, I can tell you what he's going to do. But even in his doing, that's not him. He is love. And God loves you no matter what. Nothing you can do about it. God loves you to the point he can't even help himself. I mean, a person can curse God, throw their finger up at him, and God says, you know what, I love you, and there's not a thing you can do about it. You can't talk me out of loving you. There's nothing you can do that will cause me to stop loving you. Why? Because I sent my son to die for you. Make it personal. Hey, Jesus, you came, you died on the cross for me. That's a personal thing. That's why I want to have a personal relationship, a reality relationship. I didn't say reality show. I said reality relationship. Something that's real. That's not phony. It's not just on the surface. Hey, when I'm at my weakest, I'm trusting. I'm not on my best day. I'm not on my best game, but I'm trusting. That no matter what I have to deal with, all things work together. Not some things. The most negative thing you can say, all things work together for what? Good. God doesn't cause everything, but what the devil means for evil, God says, I will still bring forth the good. Don't you know that some of you through slavery got saved? Now, God doesn't cause slavery. God is not a taskmaster with a whip. He's not out there lynching people and all that kind of stuff. I'm not trying to stir up nothing. I'm trying to make a point. But in that evil, I will still bring forth the good. The devil will never defeat me. No matter what he can come up with, it's going to work together for good. Now the Bible says, let me go back to, I'm going to stop back at verse 4. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on verses 4, 5, and 6, but just so I can just kind of get going here. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, Epistle to Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it being dead, still speaks. By faith, I touched on this last week. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found. You know, people were looking for him. This man got caught up, was taken on up, and people were looking for him, and says, and was not found because God had taken him. Why did he take him? For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Everything we do on Sunday morning, the ultimate is God pleased. Doesn't make any difference whether I liked it or not. The reality is, I want to enjoy it, I want to like it, but if God is not pleased with what I like, we waste the time. Amen. The ultimate, at the end of the day, the conclusion of the matter is, God must be pleased. Why? You never know when he may take you up out of here. And I'm not talking about a funeral. I'm talking about people see it. People start wondering, well, where is Elder Brooks? I haven't seen him for a while. Well, you know, you heard she got caught up. You know, go on Facebook, it's out there. Somebody even got a video of it. Go on Facebook, look at it. Look at YouTube. The two witnesses in the book of Revelation, the Bible says, are going to be killed and they're going to be resurrected. God is not hiding everything. He wants some stuff filmed. Get this world's attention. Hey, see you getting caught up out of here and it be on YouTube. I ain't talking about floating. See, that word, the rapture, that means to be snatched. Not just this slow rise. No, God's going to snatch. When God wants you, he'll snatch you. And when you have a testimony, a lifestyle, your testimony, not just your words, is your life, excuse me, is your lifestyle, is your manner of living. That's your testimony. And if you have a manner of living that is pleasing to God, God just might snatch you out of here. You ready to get snatched? That's a good name for a sermon. You ready to get snatched? And if you know you're not ready, the good news is God gave you a four-letter word, T-I-M-E. Time always gives you an opportunity to get it right. If I'm not ready, I can get ready. You know what that is? That's called mercy. If I'm not ready, I got time to get ready. Woe be it unto me when I run out of time. Boy, that was a nice one, boy. Didn't have that in my notes. Time is mercy. Time is opportunity. Time is one of the most valuable things you have. And not to give your time to God, who's given you all the time in your lifespan in the world so that you can have at least one more chance that if you didn't have it together, you can get it together. If you didn't forgive, you can forgive. If you weren't healed yesterday, you're going to be healed today.
Amen. Yes. Yeah.
That's why I trust him. Things didn't go well yesterday, but today's a new day. He told me not to be concerned about tomorrow. Don't throw for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You know what yesterday brought. Trust me today. Because it only takes a moment of time for me to deliver you. It only takes one word from God. God, when he wants his will done, doesn't preach a sermon. God says, I just say the word. The centurion said to the man of God. He said, listen, just send your word. You don't need to come to my house. Well, I'll come to your house and I'll hear. He said to Jesus, I'll come to your house here. No, you don't need to come to my house. Just speak the word. Maybe most of us, we had Jesus over for dinner and lunch and sleep over the next day, everything else. Jesus, but this man who was not in covenant with God, he was a Roman soldier. Romans were known for their brutality. Jesus said, I come to your house, Roman. The Bible said Jesus ate with sinners. He was an influence bearer. He was going to serve in the minister. And this man understood, this is what I believe, you got to understand authority. This man understood authority to the level that Jesus said, you know what, you may not be a Jew, but I ain't seen this kind of faith. I haven't seen this kind of trust in the people that's in covenant with me. And you are a Roman soldier. Sometimes God can see in the world the kind of faith he wants to see in us. That we'll trust him no matter what. We'll trust him with whatever we're. Okay, let me keep reading because I got to get past this. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's one of the few places, you know what, the Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. Right? You know, there are a few places where God, you know, we know God can do everything, but there are a couple of places in the Bible that God says it's impossible for me to do. Impossible means it's not even possible. And it says, without faith, without trust, it is impossible to please him. What was Enoch's testimony? He pleased God. He did something that was possible. It is God wants you to please him. Yes. Now, did your life yesterday, let's be honest, did it please God? But you're here today, guess what? Get it right. You know, you know yesterday God was not pleased? Repent and get it right today. If you know God is not pleased right now, you better not wait till tomorrow. You don't know what's coming. You don't know if you're always going to be in your right mind. You don't know if you're always going to have enough money. You don't know if you're always going to have a nice car, a nice building, nice clothes, nice this, nice that. You don't know if you're still going to still be married. You don't know what's coming tomorrow. I mean, let's face it, the world is on edge. The world is on edge right now. The United States is on edge. They want to, man, we're going to be in a war in a couple of weeks. I mean, come on now. This brother, he agitating everybody. I'm not here. I'm not going to be political. I'm trying to make a point. This country is on edge. Some for the wrong reasons, because they want to stay in their debauchery. And that perversion. But there are some people, there are some legitimate concerns because they're looking for wisdom. Come on, you got to be wise. You're the president of the United States. You represent something far bigger and greater than yourself. What you do affects millions of people. Then people say that when America sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold. I mean, what this country does has an effect on the entire globe. Economics, morals, etc., etc., etc. Okay, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God, boy, I love these words, impossible, now must. God didn't leave any wiggle room, Reverend Tomlin. He could have said sometimes, maybe if, and, but, could have, would have, should have. But he says must. God, you didn't leave me, you didn't give me any gray area. I like some gray area, kind of, you know, gray area is the options. And for some reason, in my relationship to God, he doesn't give me any options. I talked to you about the triangle. I got the revelation from Pastor Foreman over at the Money Life, so I'm not going to claim this man. But I gave the revelation about the triangle. When we first get saved, we're at the bottom. We got all these options at the bottom, but the more you grow in God, your options get eliminated. As you're finally, you get at the top of the triangle, and it's just you and God. No other options. Jesus said, follow me, you follow him. Jesus said, you come with me, you go with him. There are no other options. Most people want to stay at the bottom. Why? I got a ton of options. Oh, come on now. Look, the Super Bowl already on now. You know all that pregame stuff they do? They started that stuff at 8 o'clock this morning. The game not even to 6 o'clock, whatever. Kickoff is 6:26. They got there to the minute, too. 6:22 p.m., that's when the kickoff will be. They got it to the minute. They only say, well, the kickoff will be around between 6. No, they said kickoff will be at 6:22. Got it down to the minute. But some folk already celebrate. They're having those, what do they call those things in the parking lot? Cause yeah, come here, they're cooking and everything out there. They're also having some spirits, y'all know what I mean? They ain't the Holy Spirit either. I mean, they already celebrate. Some folk, and some of them should have been in church today. Some of them church folk. Can I get a yay, man? Amen. Is God pleased? I don't know. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. and. Must believe that he is and. Must believe, not enough just to believe, that he is a rewarder of those who casually seek him. Oh, he done put one of those words and he left the options out. Why you got to put diligently? That means it takes some effort. Brother Joe, when God says I have to diligently, he wants me to make some sacrifice. He wants me to put some effort into the relationship, and I don't want to put the effort in. I kind of want it to kind of be what it be. You know, I want to be married, and the marriage take care of itself. No, you got to work after 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, you had your rededication, 30 years, 35 years. Do you know you still have to work at making it work? Because it ain't and don't work by itself. And your relationship with God ain't, I know it's not good English, ain't going to work by itself. I know we live in a grace message. Now we got all these Christian fads. Look at all these fads we had over here, the faith movement. The fads are not. See, God starts out with legitimate. We just take it too far. Instead, they become fads. Just like clothes. They become a fashion. It was years ago when I first got born again, the faith movement was rolling. I mean, name it and claim it. Man, I had it. And, bro, I had it down. Oh, I could claim it with the best. I could plead the blood. Oh, I had it down. I put my dollar in church on Sunday, or my $10. Man, Monday, when the postman came, I was looking for my $100. 100-fold return. I had it down. And if my money didn't come, well, okay, God, what's up? What's going on? What's up with this? All the promises of God are yea and amen. I had it. It was a fad. We took it too far. Faith is legitimate, yeah. But we took it too far. Grace is legitimate, but we take it too far. Yeah. We tell people now, it's God, your relationship with God is all about God. No, it's all about God and you. Yeah. And I'm not going to preach it's all God. As though I had nothing to do with this. So I'm not, I guess evidently, I'm not even supposed to love him. God just do all the loving. I don't see that in the Bible. I'm supposed to love him. The Bible says all my strength, yeah. All my mind, all my faculties, everything. I'm supposed to love him with everything. That's on me. Yeah, that's right. I choose how much I want to love him. He's already decided how much he loves me. Yeah. He already proved that on the cross. Man, I get to work out and prove how much I love him.
Yes. Yeah.
That's my decision.
Wow.
And that's why you keep hearing me preach. Too much has been to the person who has been forgiven much, loves much. You love God to the measure you understand the measure you've been forgiven, which means that you want a nice sinner.
That's right.
You want a righteous sinner. You want a good sinner.
Right.
You weren't that bad. No, you, all of us, you that bad. You were that bad.
That bad.
Oh, we was look, we were rotten to
that's
the core.
Right.
We were wicked in our mind, wicked in our thoughts, wicked in our deeds. Wait a minute, what did you say? You said I was immoral, man. You were so wicked, you were rotten inside.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you trying to talk about me? No, I'm trying to get you to see the measure you've been forgiven.
Yeah.
See, because I'm not talking about where you are now.
Yeah.
I'm talking about what you were.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, but now, oh, I'm not rotten to the core now.
Amen. Amen.
I said this to last Sunday. I said this to the men upstairs this morning. I said, I'm paying my debts every Sunday. You know what? I love y'all.
Yeah. Amen.
I pay my debts every Sunday. See, some of y'all thought I was talking about, well, he gave his money every Sunday. No, I pay my debt. And oh, no man, anything except the lover. I pay my debts every Sunday. I love you, Reverend Tom.
Yes. Yes. We love you.
Did you give me some money today? Thank you. Ed Lamb, I love you. Did you give me some money?
No, sir.
You didn't give me no money?
No.
You sure? You sure you love me? Okay. I mean, see, people say, I'm not relating to you based on stuff.
That's right.
I'm paying my debt to God.
Yes.
so my daddy can be pleased. And he said, when he's pleased with me, I don't know, I might get caught up out of here. I might get snatched on up. He went, Pastor, shepherd, my shepherd, look at me, paying his debts to me. He's loving my people. They may not be loving him back.
It's all right.
But he's loving them.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
His testimony is so good. Yeah. Tell you what, forget the funeral. You just snatch him on the party. Y'all just go find another pastor. Probably be Pastor Hardy, but you know. I mean, I ain't trying to say nothing, brother. You don't understand. You know, but you know, we did change the service a little bit, but you might go back. You know? Okay. All right. So you understand? God, this everything that we do, it's all this comes out of our relationship with Him. Mm-hmm. My every decision. We talk about having a biblical worldview. Our every decision is based on the Bible. This is who we are.
Yes,
I'm not playing church.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Believe me, I didn't go to church all my life. My dad was a deacon. Granddad was a deacon, Philip Mason. Mama played the organ in church. Choir director. Well, I had every opportunity to know what church was about. I didn't want it. I didn't go to church because I couldn't go to church. I didn't go to church because I didn't want to.
Yes.
God took this messed up 16-year-old mind, thinking I was somebody. Next thing I know, I'm on my knees. Change me. I ain't just trying to go to church. Change me. Make me somebody different. Make me somebody new. I don't want to stay the same, because the same ain't going to cut it. Well, now, y'all get ready for this. I still got a few more minutes. The Bible says, verse 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. Who? Huh. I said, huh. Y'all didn't hear me. I said, huh. Noah didn't have a Bible to read to learn about the fear of God.
Yeah.
But Pastor, we need to be taught, really. So if I cheat you, you gonna do it? But, I mean, that's the implication, that somehow if I'm taught something, that means I'm going to automatically do it. But God is not dumb. There are things you know that you can learn with no book. Noah didn't have a book. Noah had a revelation. Noah had a God that was talking to him. He gave us a book. But there's some things we can do or not do. God said, I don't need to show you. You already know. Because I put in your heart the capacity to know right from wrong. I put in the garden two trees. Tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. Everybody in here, you know the difference between good and evil.
Yes.
Everyone in here.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Now what happens with most people when they do evil, they go against their own conscience. And if you go against your own conscience long enough, your conscience stops talking. And there's a strong man in your life now, and he always talking. He never wants to do the Bible. He never wants to go to church. Never wants to pray. Never wants to just dang giving that money to that preacher. Never wants to want God until your last breath. It's amazing how many people in their last breath cry out to God.
Yes.
Atheists, that last moment, cry out to Him, talking about there is no God, but we'll cry out to Him. Because in everybody, we know there is a God.
Yes.
And if you don't acknowledge Him in life, God says, you still gonna acknowledge me.
Yes.
Everything I made is going to acknowledge me.
Yeah.
The trees,
yeah.
and the, what is that? The trees and the fields, what? Clap their hands. The mountains will sway in praise to me. Everything I made is going to honor me. The rivers and the waters are going to stand up in adoration. That's the God we serve. And you can do it in life. You can do it in death. But you're going to bow your knee. God says you can do it in obedience. I'll send an 8,000 pound angel. Make you bow your knee. Lucifer. You're going to bow to me. I already said, I believe it's in Ezekiel. When people behold you in eternity, they're going to say, is this the one? Wait a minute. This is the guy that made the world, the earth tremble? This little scrawny 90 pound weakling got the entire world in fear? This is the guy? Why do you think Jesus, when he went into the bowels of the earth, and the Bible says he made an open show. Jesus was the first trash talker. You know what that means? He embarrassed. He didn't just go in and get it. He embarrassed him. I'm going to show you what real power is, and I'm going to show you who got it. Give me them keys. You got Abraham and all them locked up in his bosom, but they mine. I'm going to lead captivity captive. I'm now capturing them. I'm going to open it. Now the rest of these folks is lost. Can't help you. You didn't believe that I was coming. You can see me now, but it's a big gulf between us. You can see over there, but you can't get over there. And there are many people, they can see the kingdom, but they can't get there. Because God, stay with me now. She ain't just the devil. Because God has sent them strong delusion that they would believe a lie. It ain't all the devil. Saul was acting up. God says, tell you what, I'm going to send a strange spirit from me to Saul. And your only deliverance is the one you're trying to kill, David. I got news for you. Maybe the thing you're trying to kill, that's your deliverance. David had to play that harp. And it wasn't rap. See, the Psalms are songs. David wrote many Psalms. Put those Psalms to music. Play the harp. That's all that power and that anointing was in that harp. And because Saul was out of his mind, God uses David in that harp music to deliver him. Yeah. Let me keep reading. Just got a few more minutes. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, this is a person I really want to speak a lot about. Abraham, the Bible says, who the God called the father of all them that believe. Abraham was a serious man. All these people in the Bible that I'm reading about were serious, but Abraham was a man. Whew, this was a serious guy. I could spend months just talking about Abraham. This was a serious man. I mean, let's just take a moment to the next, maybe the next 5 minutes, then I'm gonna close. By faith, by trust, Abraham obeyed. Obedience has to come out of trust. Because you don't, like I was just saying a moment ago, you don't know what's coming tomorrow. You don't know what's coming the next moment. You don't know what's coming in a second. But by faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place which he would receive an inheritance. And he went, not knowing where he was going. That didn't make any sense. Now, you just read what I just read. He went to a place, but he didn't know where he was going. Now, you're talking about some faith. What if I were to tell you, now I'm going to send you to a place, but we don't know where you're going. Okay, you said, wait a minute. Okay, let's just back up. Pastor, back the truck up for a minute. I'm willing to go where you want to send me, but you don't know where we're going. So how are we going to get to where you're sending me if we don't know where we're going? Trust me.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. But wait a minute. I'm educated. I'm a logical thinker. I don't know if I can invest my time to go where you want me to go. Not where I want to go. You want me to go, but you don't know where I'm going. Figure it out. You'll be here a long time. Faith goes beyond logic. You will never figure faith out. You never will. Because it doesn't make sense. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went not knowing where he was going. He stepped out. Okay, I don't know where I'm going, but God said, do what? Go. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm going to end up. I don't know who I'm going to meet, but I'm going to the place where God hasn't told me to go. Figure it out. Oh, gotta keep reading. Not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He took his family into this. For he waited for the city, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What are you pursuing? What are you going after? Who's making what you're going after? I mean, my time is gone. I'm putting my notes down. What's defining you? What you do, your job? Do you model yourself after entertainers and athletes? I mean, what's defining you? What's making you act like you act? What's making you think like you think? Because if the builder and maker is not God, who is it? How can it be good for you if it's not God? It'll pull you away from him. An ungodly relationship will pull you away. People have gotten upset with me over the years. I don't think you need to be with that person. Oh, this is the one. Look, I don't know. You know, I'm going to get real spiritual with her. I don't know if I feel it in my spirit. Because you got to do that, you know, church for you got to. My spirit, I don't know how I feel. No, look, I just, you know what? I don't know about my spirit. I don't like what I see in him. Something about him. I don't like something about him. See, he wouldn't say sir to me. He wouldn't respect me enough to know he can't come out in my house and curse. That's right. There's something wrong with him. It wasn't my spirit. It's what I heard. It's what I saw. It's how he addressed me. You know, when your children are young and guys, you know, you got daughters and, you know, he calls the house and can I speak too? And you said, well, first of all, when you pick up the phone, you say, hello. My name is, I either attend work or church or school with your daughter or whoever. May, not put her on the phone. May I speak to? I like what I hear. You know, my spirit ain't saying nothing yet. But I like what I hear. Yes, you may. Well, put on the phone. No, you may not. Don't need no revelation. But you know people do that with God. Start to praying. Don't say, may I. Just go off telling God what they want. Because there is some silly teaching called knowing what your principle, your privileges and your benefits and your rights and all that. It's biblical, but your attitude is wrong. God, I know you know who I am, so I don't have to introduce myself. May I have a moment? I know you're not going to turn me away. You said, I'm boldly to the throne of God. I know the Bible. You say, come boldly. You're not going to kick me out, but my attitude still has to be right. May I approach a king? Esther knew that. Man, that with the scepter, that scepter don't come out. Your head go off. She was the queen, right? But she still had to approach her husband, the king. And if she hasn't been summoned by him, she better hope that scepter come out. Then because she was in the will of God, what happened? Scepter came out, saved her life. And she saved the life of an entire nation. Because she put her own life on the line.